Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, it's Suzanne, and it is the beginning of December, actually in the middle of Hanukkah. We're on the third day, I believe. And so everybody knows that December, I try to, like, give some kind of focus to the holidays. And I have, like, one of my favorite people on tonight, and it was a, sort of a last-minute thing, so I'm really, really pleased. And so it's going to be a fun show, and we're going to talk about a lot of different things. And obviously, one of the things that, you know, we're going to, like, talk about is just, because I know this is a hard time of year for a lot of folks. I'm well aware of that. And the phones are sort of off the hook. But just one quick here. The number to call, by the way, is 347-945-7785, 347-945-7785. I will be taking callers later on for messages toward the end of the show. But there's a lot of things that I kind of want to get through today. And one of the things that I want to talk about in terms of my guest is, you know, that's something that I've been very much involved in, and I'm going to be involved in again next year. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to sort of talk about, you know, some of the ways to, like I said, to help folks get through sort of the holiday things. But without further ado, before we do that, I did want to mention one other quick thing. I know this, I mentioned this in my newsletter for most of you guys out there, but for those of you who don't know about it, everybody's, like, they're very focused on December the 21st, 2012, because that is the last day of the Mayan calendar. And I think everywhere I've been, which has been from Toronto to Baltimore to wherever, to Virginia Beach, to Roanoke, Virginia, and within quite literally within the last 30 days, I bet I've had at least 10 people, if not 20 people, asked me about December 21st, the Mayan calendar, which is, of course, according to, you know, to the version, it's sort of what we know to be the end of the world. Well, it's the end of the way we know things to be, and that's really what the focus is. But the other little tidbit of information is, if that's going to be the case, I will be kind of in the perfect place for it, because I'm actually going to be in Mexico, in the pyramids, for December 21st. I've been asked to be part of the keynote speakers of honoring the bringing in of the solstice of December 21st in Mexico, in the pyramids out by Merida. It's about, like, in the pyramids about 4 hours outside of that. So I will be trekking 4 hours on that December 21st night to be there for the ceremony. It's going to start at like 5 o'clock in the morning on December the 21st. So that should be pretty cool. And I guess if it's going to be, you know, really snazzy and happening, I'm going to be right in the place for it. So I'm going to be thinking about sending a lot of wonderful energy to all the folks that I know that especially need it. And so I'm going to be sort of in the hot spot there at the time. So that's kind of a cool thing. And so I will be reporting on that when I get back next. Well, I'll be back this year. I'll be actually traveling on Christmas Eve day, but I'll be certainly reporting about that on my show in January. And in my show in January, I always do a kind of a tidbit of what's the year's to become. My dear friend and top Bill a tribe astrologer is well known and really hot off the top guy. He's going to be talking about what we can sort of expect for coming into 2013. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on my guest, and we're going to, like, just sort of wing it, because we do this really, really well. She's always got unbelievably, I would say, like, an encyclopedia of information to talk about, and we're going to talk about some of the things that she's involved on, some of the special things that she's got coming up that we're going to offer some specials to everybody tonight, and we're going to also talk about some of the things that to help people do to get through the holidays. So without further ado, I'm bringing on Terry Daniels. Hey, Terry, how are you doing tonight?
I'm fine, and I'm jealous. I want to go to Mexico with you. What a cool thing.
Did you know that, huh?
I didn't know. This is the first I heard of it. I think it's amazing. So wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this organization. They do these big conferences, like, every December. But this one is huge, and it's obviously connected to the Mayan calendar. What could be better but to be there? And, you know, there's about 1,000 people going to this conference, so it should be really kind of interesting. Yeah, so I'm like the only medium, which is really interesting, that's going to be there. And like I say, what we do is, you know, the conference is actually 4 days, but on the solstice, we take some bus to God knows where it is, about 4 hours, and do the ceremony as the sun comes up. And then we take, obviously, the bus back, and then the conferences that continues the whole next weekend. So it should be a really, really very, very, very cool, quite an honorable experience to be to ask to be part of it. So I'm pretty excited. I mean, I'm not particularly excited about traveling on Christmas Eve because I tend to like this holiday. But you know, we have to do what we got to do. That's the deal.
Yeah. Well, that's a good segue. We could start by talking about this 2012 thing. And interestingly, I just took an astronomy class from a scientist, you know, PhD in astronomy, and I asked him about this. And what he said really echoes what I think as well. You know, the calendar, it's just like changing from 1999 to 2000, because mm-hmm. you know that time is just a consideration. There is no time, and there is
right.
no linear time. So the way any particular group of people marks time on paper or in culture or on a stone tablet really doesn't mean anything. And so I think a lot of people have really gotten swept up in this shift in consciousness thing, which, yes, of course, that's going to happen, but that's always happening anyway. And so
that's a continuum. Right.
It's a continuum. Yeah, it's not like all of a sudden one day everybody's going to wake up. You know, that
right.
that would be like the rapture or something. You know.
Right. Well, but that's not going to happen because that means that implies that they're, you know, we're stripped of the free will in our process. You know, so.
Right.
We all know that that's going to be.
There is actually something astrological to that that's kind of interesting. And, you know, those of us who are old enough to remember the Age of Aquarius, the song and everything, there are astrological ages. And so if we go back, say, 5,000 years ago, when the stories of the Hebrews and that particular creation myth was created, we were in the age of Aries. And the concept we had of God was the angry Mars Aries personality, and that was the Old Testament God, and that went, there is this thing that happens every 2,000 years. And mm-hmm. then around the time of Jesus, we moved into what was the Pisces age, the Piscean age, which is mellow and peaceful and like Jesus.
Right.
And then 2,000 years after that, we started moving into the Aquarian age, which is free will, balance, awareness, blah, blah. And so that's where we are
tech.
Now.
And high
yeah,
tech.
Yeah, and technology, increased
right.
communication.
Right, it was sort of taken off from the power of the crystals, which used to, as everybody understands, the crystals were the ones that was the energy source for Atlantis and
yeah.
the hot points there.
Yeah, so the shift in consciousness that's coming with 2012, and you know, you can't nail it down to an exact day or an exact year, is basically coming into this Aquarian age and that we're all entering into. It's really not a big deal, and it doesn't mean the end of the world. So
no,
yeah.
no.
but
it definitely
doesn't
mean the end of the world. But Hollywood gets a lot of, you know, they get a lot of pull out of it. You know, they get to.
Oh yeah.
They get to do the movies on it, yes. But I think, you know, to be honest, I sort of say you'd have to be kind of under a rock to not know that there's definitely a change in energy in terms of consciousness, and it's actually been going on for a while. And I would say that for me, obviously being the pioneer in doing this work, I've seen a lot of changes, some great, some not so great, obviously over the 35 years of doing what I do, but what I do know is this: there is definitely a shift, and you should probably know that even just from. And we're going to obviously talk about the Afterlife Conference, which is for all anybody who's out there that's even thinking twice about it, I would say like go do it. And we're going to talk about there's a special end of the year discount, but you don't even have to mention my show to do it. Terry's doing that automatically, but. But, you know, just in terms of where you have, even in terms of starting the conference, is to where we are now with, as we all know, you know, the bestsellers of Evan Alexander, you know, Mary Neal, the other one who just wrote the other book, I think Janice, which I'm trying to think of her last name. But, you know, I mean, just within that fact, you got these three doctors, three scientists, that have really come forth and are talking about, obviously, these near-death experiences or these experiences in terms of consciousness. That's a pretty big deal, because I know that there would have been a time those people would have never wanted to be on my show. They now flock to be on my show. So that is a big change unto itself. But we all know masses are much slower than people are individually. But I'm sure that you've, even in the time that you started doing the Afterlife Conference, you've seen an unbelievable shift.
Well, those boundaries are really breaking down, and this is, I'm really glad you mentioned this, because I actually did a teleclass with Raymond Moody last night, and in it, he, you know, at one point in his career, and as most people know, Raymond Moody wrote the book Life After Life in the 70s.
Right.
He was the first person to really research near-death experience, and he went through a time where people were saying that he had changed his mind about his beliefs. Well, I figured out what that was about last night. He is an MD, PhD in philosophy, and also a psychiatrist. And he actually comes from a very scientific perspective. And he said something to me that blew my mind last night. He said, "We don't have scientific evidence of higher realms of consciousness or an afterlife, but we don't have scientific proof, but we have evidence." And there's a big difference. And science people are all about the nomenclature. You know, they're all about
right. They're all about data.
Yeah. And so he was actually saying, you know, there's no real data to prove mediumship. Yet there is evidence. So there's a difference between evidence and data, apparently. But for his mind and for the scientific mind, they're looking for that all the time. And so there's still a gap, but the gap is getting smaller when they
right.
start to realize that what we're really talking about is not physical evidence, it's metaphysical evidence. And that's what metaphysics means. It means that bridge between the physical and the non-physical, and science hasn't quite figured that out yet.
Well, actually, yes, he's right on one account, but he's wrong on the other account. Because the Dr. Gary Schwartz has got tons of data on this, because he's probably has had more contact with more mediums than anybody else in this decade. I mean, he is, you know, he's connected to them all, and he's had, you know, many of them in his laboratories, me included, because I was, you know, one of the very first that he had. So he's got, like, lots of data, and his data is really quite interesting, how he's really come down to, you know, what would he call proof of survival of consciousness. And I was just actually in Arizona, of course, the weekend of Sandy, doing some more studies with him, which he's continuing to do, and he's doing it even on a more even intense scale with other kind of like science stuff. So that is happening. And it would have been really interesting to have Dr. Schwartz and Dr. Moody kind of like, you know, in interchip planes. And I'm working actually on bridging the three of us kind of together. That's sort of, you know, one of my goals that I'm getting, because Gary has been, for lack of better words, he's been burnt by some mediums, and he's a little gun-shy about even doing some of the public stuff that at one point he was doing. So I'm slowly by slowly bringing him back out in the world, so to speak, and working with me, and he's pretty confident and very happy to be working with me, because, you know, I break a lot of those barriers in terms of his bad experiences. So we're doing some very serious, you know, we did our first joint lecture at the University of Arizona in October, and we're going to be doing another one at Columbia University this year coming up. So
I think it would be great to get him and Raymond Moody together for a little chat.
That's kind of really interesting, but you know, I'm even gonna, you know, I mean, I actually tried to get him part of doing a thing at Omega, but as it works out, I'm gonna be at Omega, and I'm gonna be actually two months in a row working with Eben. I'm gonna be with him obviously at your conference, and then I'm gonna be with him at Omega in July. I'm gonna be with him and Raymond in July. So I'm going to be back-to-back, yeah, and I'm going to be with Raymond in three things. I'm going to be with the scientific and spiritual The expedition has been on for 75 years in Montreal. I'm going to be at that one with him. I'm going to be at yours with him. And then I'm going to be with him and Evan at Omega. So that's kind of cool for me.
Well, see, that's what's happening. The three of you together is a perfect example of those boundaries breaking down, because Evan comes from straight-ahead science.
Yeah.
You come from straight-ahead mysticism. And Raymond's somewhere in the middle. So
right. We've
got
yeah. This
beautiful blending of these three energies. That's just great.
I'm so excited about all of this. Yeah, I'm very excited about it, too, because that's, you know, always that was actually the direction that I went in after, you know, 1998, when I was involved in the first studies that he did. And I found that there was such importance about it because, you know, just because of the way our culture is, you know, we put many doctors upon high esteems, and you know that. So it's sort of like, well, if the scientists, you know, get behind this, or the doctors get behind this, then, you know, then it opens people's eyes that would not ordinarily be open. Now, obviously, that's changed pretty radically since that time. But, you know, being part of those studies in that time and where Gary has, you know, gone to now is some really, really, really interesting stuff. And we did some what we did is in front of the university, we actually did a live performance of how he does the data with mediums. And it was really,
great.
Really fascinating. I have to say, I was really put on the spot. I didn't even know I was going to be doing it. But, you know, he's one of these springs these things on in the morning, like, oh, by the way, Suzanne, this is what we're going to be doing for our event. Okay. So we're going to have
Well, but you're really good at doing stuff on the spot, you know.
Absolutely. That's what I do well. Exactly.
Yeah.
So there was an audience of about 125 people, you know, a combination of students, obviously, from people from all over from Tucson. And what they did, he had me stand in front of an audience and had two people behind me that, of course, I didn't know. That I couldn't see, and I couldn't ask any questions about, and I had to give, like, literally all the data, all the information that I could about them and their dead relatives. And then after about 20 minutes of all the information that I gave them, then I had to turn around, and he goes, well, you have more information? And I said, yes. And so I turned around, and then I gave them more information. I mean, like, not that seeing them face-to-face is going to give me more information, but it just sort of happened to be that way, that there was still more to be had. And they were figuring out the percentages of accuracy while it was being done because it was being taped. And just one of the quick things that sort of happened at the end, which I know you're going to appreciate, that is that I was just about done, and I said, that's all I have to say about it. I said, I'm hearing one more thing. And I said, I'm hearing the song, you know, Bonnie lies over the ocean, Bonnie's over the sea, bring back my Bonnie to me. And I said, does this mean anything to you? And the woman sat there. I thought she was going to, like, completely lose it because the tears rolled down her eyes because her name was Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
And her grandmother used to sing her that song. And during this time, she had lost her daughter. So
yeah.
it was pretty powerful. It was one of those you kind of had to be there. But anyway, about that, he's the guy, her husband, who was part of this, is also a scientist, which was actually really interesting. So he was there to actually figure out the data. And in the data, I scored between 85 and 90% of accuracy of the information. So they're now going to put that in one of their new journals coming out. So
that's great. That's where we need to be.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about
journal.
That. So it's going to be another, you know, what we call putting on the list. So just a couple of things that I wanted to ask you, Terry, because I want to talk about, you know, your new stuff that's going on with you, and we're going to take, you know, a break in a few minutes. But, you know, being somebody that I'm sure, like a lot of other people, you know, may or may not be affected, you know, through the holidays. But because you're pretty cool and pretty tuned in, when people ask you, I mean, because, you know, people ask me, like, how you get through the holidays or you know, do you have any, like, formulas and stuff? So I'm just sort of asking you, are there anything in particular that you do or when people ask you this, these questions about, you know, what helps you out?
Yeah, I have a lot of things that I do. My theory about this and, you know, speaking for bereaved people who've lost a loved one, particularly a child, is in my opinion and in my experience, the more you face it, the easier it is to face. So I have seen a lot of people at grief conferences, particularly at, like, the Compassionate Friends. I went to one of their conferences once. I was a speaker there. And someone was giving a talk on how to get through the holidays. And a lot of what this person was saying is one option is to just ignore the holidays. Don't pull out the Christmas decorations. Go take a Caribbean vacation. Just ignore it. Or spend the whole day in bed with your head under the covers and cry if that's what you want to do. And so the option of ignoring it was one thing that she suggested. Personally, as a person who provides grief counseling and I do hospice work and all the stuff that I do, I would not recommend that. And so what works for me...
I wouldn't recommend that either, because actually you're not really honoring that person, because that's not the last thing. They want you to have the party. They want you to celebrate, because that was something that we did together. Absolutely.
Right. Yes. And it's also not healing yourself, you know, because you have to, as long as you have to live on this earth, there's going to be the holidays until you're gone from here and beyond. But so you honor yourself by creating a ritual. And what I do, my son died 6 years ago, and I always have celebrated winter solstice when he was first born. And here I was, a mother with a brand new child. I didn't want to do traditional Christmas because it doesn't align with my personal theology, so I started doing a solstice celebration and did a lot of ancient solstice things where people come over and light a candle and make a wish for how they want to bring more light into their life. And so this year is going to be my 22nd annual, and I always know what year it is because my son would be 22 years old this year. So having a ritual, pulling out the pictures and the Christmas decorations I have in my garage, all the beautiful little things that my son made when he was a little kid, you know, to hang on the tree and everything. I love going through that stuff. Yes, it makes me sad. Sometimes it makes me cry. Sometimes I sit here and I just miss him so much, but I want to feel that. I'm not afraid of those feelings. And in fact, because I go through my life and I'm so busy and I live in my head so much of the time, when something comes that just sticks an arrow through my heart and opens it up to feel the grief, it's like I say, oh, there's that. I haven't felt that for a while. I'm really happy to feel that. I want my heart to be open in that place because it does get covered over like a scab. And that makes a lot of us feel like we're losing touch with the person because the scab is forming. And so bringing those things out and doing the things your loved one liked on the holidays, you know, making their favorite food or whatever,
Absolutely,
brings them closer. And they know that you're doing it.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, because it's like I said, that's what the honor's about. And I always say to people, you know, if you really, really want to honor them, like, you know, these families that Christmas is like a big deal to them, and then all of a sudden, like, they can't do it. It's like, not to mention if there's other children in the family, they get affected by it because they feel like they're punished. I mean, that's really what they feel, is because, you know, we can't celebrate that because, you know, my brother died. Or, you know, and so that joy is stripped on so many different levels. And I'm with you. I think there's a lot of ways that we can honor the people we love. But if this particular holiday, if the solstice thing was like a big deal for you, and Christmas was a big deal for somebody, and Hanukkah was a big, you know, they want you to do that because you know what? It's about a celebration. And in all celebrations, there's always going to be pluses and minuses, and that's the drill. But it's all part of the deal. All part of everything.
And not only is it about the celebration, but both of these holidays, Christmas and Hanukkah, are actually about the light. You know, that's why Hanukkah is called the Festival of Lights. It has nothing to do with the war with the Maccabees and the oil burning for 8 days.
That never
really happened. It's about solstice. It's about welcoming the light back to the earth. And Christmas, the Christian Christmas holiday, was superimposed over the solstice because everybody was celebrating anyway. So when the church came into prominence, they said, well, we'll just lay this on top of that date because everybody's already doing stuff to celebrate that. But it is all about the light. So if you continue to celebrate these holidays and focus on the aspect of it that is about the light, then you're bringing yourself into that light where your loved one is.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you bring that up, and we're going to go to a break, but they did the same thing with Halloween, when the pagans had Halloween, because it's about the connection of the thin veil between the spirit world and the church, you know, freaked out.
Absolutely.
So
they
had to do a counteraction from that, and that's where they came. And they didn't. They were trying to name the Saints, but they couldn't really. They didn't have any Saints laying around at the time. So instead of saying the Saints, they did Old Souls Day, and that's where that came from.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't know that. And just speaking of which, before we do go to the break, and by the way, the number to call is 347-945-7785. I will be giving you messages toward the end of the show, as I usually do. Is that the Mexican people, one of the things, you know, why they happen to love me is, of course, is the holiest day of the year for them is Dia de Muertos, which is the Day of the Dead. That's their holy day. So,
yeah,
you know,
and it acknowledges what we all once knew before we were told that we weren't supposed to know it, which is we are in constant contact with the dead. They're not far away. And
right,
we just
right.
All we need to do to connect with them is to create an opening for them to come through. So a holiday like the Day of the Dead is for that
we'll
purpose.
Do it. That's it.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, so my guest is Terry Daniels. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about we're going to talk about a few more things. But we're going to talk a little bit about some of the new work you're talking about. But I also want to promote our the event coming up and talk about the discounting that you have
mm-hmm.
for everybody. This
okay.
is Sunday Northrop on Blog Talk Radio. This December solstice, winter, Hanukkah, everything, whatever you want it to be, show.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Welcome back to Suzanne in my Blog Talk Radio with my guest, special guest Terry Daniels, and we're going to talk a little bit about what she's doing. But before we do that, Terry, and just for the guest call-in number is 347-945-7785. If you've called in now, you probably have a good shot. I go by kind of the numbers here, so we'll go from there, and we might even do some questions. So. Talk about, obviously we're going to talk about the Afterlife Conference, but talk a little bit about this sort of the special. And obviously, you know, like me, Raymond Movie obviously is very supportive of the work that you've done, you've created. And God knows it seems to be really going off the charts, which is really cool.
I hope it goes off the charts. You know, registrations we're still 6 months away, and registrations are slowly coming in. So I want people to know that there is a $50 discount if you register before December 31st. And the place to go to do that is afterlifeconference.com. It's very simple, afterlifeconference.com. And all the information is there about who's going to be there. Suzanne will be there, of course. Raymond Moody, Eben Alexander, who is our hero right now. He's become quite the superstar, and we're all jumping for joy over this. We have Julie Beischel from the Winbridge Institute, who does also scientific research on mediumship. We have
mm-hmm.
a whole separate section on grief and bereavement, which we did last year, but this year it's even more pronounced, and we have some amazing people. We have Christine Dominiak, I think is how you say her name, and Ken Doka, D-O-K-A, who is the director of the Hospice Foundation of America. He's a very mainstream hospice and bereavement guy, but he's interested in talking about, you know, these experiences, deathbed visions, after-death communication from the perspective of a hospice chaplain and doctor. Who else have we got? We've got another medium named Ara Parisian. We're going to do something also called Mediums at Large, and these are people who are coming in who are not presenters, but they are mediums, and they're going to be offering private sessions throughout the weekend. We've got meet and greets with all the authors and the speakers. I'm not looking at the list right now, but I think I've pretty much said most of the big names. I have to take another look. Anyway, it's an amazing conference.
Yeah, it is an amazing conference, I have to say. And it's, you know, I mean, somebody who's done this work for a very, very long time and have, God knows, have done, you know, conferences for forever in a day. I applauded you last year, and I'll applaud you, I'm sure, again this year, because you do a great job and a great service. And I what I happened to really like about it last year was exactly, you know, I love the three aspects, because I think there's something there for everybody, and there's something there for the newly, there's something there that have gone to a certain level in their lives, people who just, you know, want to open up the door. So there's really a lot for everybody. So, you know,
yeah,
like
that's,
I said,
you know, I did it that way on purpose. When we did our first year, we had everybody lumped together, and we had the bereaved people mixed in with the science people, mixed in with the spirituality
right.
people, and it really didn't work. And so I separated this way, and there really is something for everybody. Even if you've never gone to anything like this or even are just beginning to ask these questions, all the way up to, you know, an advanced person who's been doing this forever, there's something there. And we also have, I'm looking at the list now, Erica Hyatt, who is really interesting, PhD, has done research on sibling bereavement and pediatric end-of-life decision-making. We've got
mm-hmm.
Linda Fitch, who is one of my favorite people in the world. She is a shamanic practitioner who teaches shamanic processes for conscious dying, how to assist the soul to leave the body. And she's doing a full-day pre-conference workshop, which is really ideal for hospice workers, where you are actually with a person who is dying, and they're very close to death, and there's a process that we have learned how to do. I did her training, where you open up the chakras and create a space between where the chakras are and where the body is for the soul to exit. It's hard to explain it in simple terms, and you can
mm-hmm,
even do
mm-hmm.
this with people who aren't dying and produce an out-of-body experience. And we also have Bill Bullman from the Monroe Institute, who's going to teach us how to leave our bodies. So there's just, it's going to be amazing, because there's a lot of hands-on stuff. You don't just sit
a lot of hands-on stuff.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, I'm big on the hands-on. That's always as far as I'm concerned, that's how we really get educated,
by
doing it. You know, it's really about doing it, because you can get it in your brain forever, but you really got to have to do the hands-on stuff. That's really key. So afterlifeconference.com to register, and if you do it before December 31st, you can give yourself a end of the year, beginning of the year, solstice, Christmas, Hanukkah present. And,
yes.
and
a
I'm
gift
sure you'll
from the light.
Right, exactly. And I'm sure that you'll you certainly won't regret it. That's for sure. And I know that there's a lot of people who go there. And interesting enough, there are people that go by themselves, people that go with friends, and then they meet a lot of other people. I remember by the time I got up there talking on Saturday night, people were getting pretty rowdy. So
they were definitely making. Yeah, they fall in love with each other because,
yeah.
you know, where do you
yeah.
get, can you ever go, first of all, in the bereavement track, and
right.
this is true of you know, anything for bereaved parents, is you're never in a room with 50 people who've lost a child. That just
yeah.
never happens.
No,
and then
no.
on the spiritual side, how often are you ever in a room with 100 people who've had after-death communication or near-death experiences? It just
right,
doesn't happen,
exactly.
you know. So it's
it
really amazing
happen,
to get all of those in one place.
That's definitely one of the beauty things that's sort of about it. So
yep.
speaking of work, let's just talk, you know, a little bit about, I know you're doing some, like, new stuff now. I mean, I know you're always trying to
yep.
do new stuff, but I know you. One of your special things that you obviously are very involved in is hospice work. But I know you at least last time we had spoken, you had been talking about the next level of what you were doing in relationship to that. So
yeah.
this is the work that you're now doing right now.
Well, it's the work I'm trying to do. I went back to school 3.5 years ago to get a degree in theology, which is something you need to be a hospice chaplain. And
mm-hmm.
right now I've done all different kinds of trainings. You know, I've done Linda Fitch's shamanic workshop and too much stuff to mention of, you know, with death and dying. But right now I'm doing something very traditional and clinical that is required of most hospice chaplains. It's called clinical pastoral education, and I've had to work in a hospital for the last 4 months. Three months, dealing with that. And after 6 years in hospice, being in a hospital setting was completely shocking to me. And this is where, you know, people are dying in the ICU. They've been on life support for months on a ventilator. There's no chance in the world that they're going to recover. And the doctors, you know, are very resistant to letting them die, or I have been in situations where a person is actually dying. They've taken them off life support, but they're still in intensive care, and with the machines and the lights and the noise, and I've said to them, can we move this person into a more peaceful place? Here's the family. I'm here to help them. We can create a beautiful death setting and help these people cross over, but the hospital can't do that. And so one of the things I realized is, you know, they have birthing rooms now. If you're going to have a baby, they have a beautiful room with like a little jacuzzi thing you can
right,
sit in
right.
and music.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't they have deathing rooms?
Wow,
birthing
yeah.
room, deathing
yeah.
room. Same thing.
Because it's
so
a birthing room. It's a different birth.
It's a different birthing
it's
room.
It's a different
it
birth, yes. Yes.
And you know, it's interesting. It should be right there next to the birthing rooms, like on the other side of the hall, because
yeah.
in the old days, one of the most famous, earliest hospices in France, it was like in a big cathedral. I can't remember the name of the place, but there were women giving birth on one side of the room and people dying on the other side of the room. They actually knew that that was a revolving door. And
right,
this was
right.
in the early Catholic Church, you know, because they did have a lot of mysticism in Catholicism at one time.
No, it's all throughout
yeah.
the Bible.
And yeah.
As a matter of fact, in the fifth century, it's either the fifth or sixth century, reincarnation was in there, but they took it out because they felt that
yeah.
people would figure that they could come back again, so they weren't going to, you know.
They weren't going to comply.
They couldn't
yeah.
control them, so that was, it
yeah.
was one of the kind of the deals on that. So
exactly.
that's kind of another little, as we would say, you know, interesting feedback thing.
Well, that's one of the things I love about being in school and doing this theology study that I'm doing, because I love learning about this stuff. And now when you say that, I can say, well, actually, it wasn't in the first century, in the fourth century. It was in the second century. It was way before Constantine made his changes. You know, they actually threw out those ancient books in the first 200 years. And so it's been like that for a long time. But that's a whole other story. But, you know, the point is that the work I'm trying to do now is work with the dying and their families to help the person cross over and to help the family accept the death and also to have a mystical experience with it. One of the things Raymond Moody talks about now is what he calls a shared death experience, so that if you're at the deathbed with somebody and you do certain, what I do is I synchronize my breath with theirs. I can
mm-hmm.
travel with them. I can,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can't necessarily see exactly what they're seeing, but I can feel myself lifting out of my body and going to the higher realms, accompanying that person. This is
mm-hmm.
all something that we are designed to be able to do, but we don't use it because, you know, religion told
right.
us that we're not supposed to.
Right. Well,
and you know, Suzanne, I've always told you that I thought you should work in hospice. I think, you know, I would love to walk into a hospice with you one day and just spend a day there and see what you do and what that would be like for you.
Yeah, I know. You're trying to get me in your claws there, Terry. I know that. But we'll see. You never know. What I've learned
yeah.
is like you never know. But there's something else that you said. That's really interesting. Is that, you know, of course, you know this, and I'm sure, you know, but you know, when I was raised, you know, that in those days, many people, you know, they passed in the family, and they passed at home. They weren't put in hospitals. They weren't put in institutions, even when they're really, really sick. So it was something that the family, as a family, experienced.
As it should be, absolutely, yeah.
As it should be, and that's become a very big change where we put them to the side, we send them to the side, you know, and it's sort of like, you know, we don't want the children to see, or we don't want the younger people to see, and it's, you know what, it's part of life. It's part of the deal. Is that,
well,
you know,
I grew up in a Jewish family, and they never let the kids go to funerals, and I never knew why until I became a theology student and started studying Jewish culture around death. That is actually an old Jewish belief, that a child should never go to a funeral until they're 13, until they become a man.
Right, right.
And, you know, because they believe that it will rob them of their childhood innocence or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all that
right.
does is make them afraid of this mysterious thing that makes everybody
yes.
cry.
Yes.
And, you
right.
know, and when my son was little, you know, I always let him go to funerals with me, and I would say, oh, yeah, there's Aunt Roz, you know, and she's not in her body anymore. And when we had to put our dog down, this was after my son was sick, we went to the vet, and there was my son in his wheelchair, and the doctor gave the dog the shot, and the dog just kind of went to sleep, and I took my son's hand and put it on the dog, and I said, can you feel that? Can you feel that Jackson is not in there anymore?
Mm-hmm.
But he's still somewhere. Can you still feel him? Do you feel him
mm-hmm.
loving you? You know, and I sort of did this with
right.
my son, and I realized later that Jackson, the dog, who had a lot of issues, which is why he had to be put down, had come to us just for the purpose of demonstrating that to my son.
Mm-hmm.
That was his purpose with us and his gift to us.
That's wonderful. And it is most definitely a purpose and a gift, that's for sure. That is most definitely for sure.
Well, that's what animals are. That's why
they're
here.
About, yes, they're about the teachers here. So we're going to take another quick break, and we'll come back and we're going to talk for, I'm going to take some callers, but we are going to talk for a little bit more about this, because I think that this is important stuff in general, but I think it's important stuff always, but I think right around this time of the holidays, I know for many people, it is very, very tough, and we're just, you know, as we say, sitting there doing our almost December soul to sing together.
<Yes.
laughs> This is Suzanne Northup on Blog Talk Radio with my special guest, Terry Daniels. Just for the record, she wrote the book A Swan in Heaven, and she runs the Afterlife Conference, as you can see, in her spare time, all these other things that she sort of does. So we will take another quick break, and we'll be back in a moment.
This is Suzanne's website, www.suzannenorthrup.com, for all the latest news, calendar, and for any events. You can also sign up for her newsletter at www.suzannenorthrup.com. That's SUZANENORTHROP.
Welcome back. This is Suzanne. In our end of the year, this is going to be the last December show of 2012, And I kind of like the number 2013. 2012 was cool too, but I think I kind of like the number 13. I like 13. I like the number 13. So, you know, it should be a real interesting thing. But I'm very excited to be in Mexico at the Mayan pyramids with a whole lot of other folks, and I'm sure it's going to be some Hapa energy. So if anybody sees me floating, you know where I'm floating from. So that's sort of the and do come on down, you know, Terry.
Wish I could. I would love to. I got my solstice party on the 21st, so
that's right.
I've got
you got your solstice
commitment.
Party, and we can't forget about that. That's very very key. So just real quick, I will give out the number one more time, 347-945-7785. If you're already on the line, hold on. You'll be for sure get to my last messages, at least on my radio show for this year for sure. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, besides your dedication is just it's really, really quite amazing. And we never know. We start out in life doing one thing, and I'm sure you probably, and who knows, a million years never thought you'd be doing what you're doing now. But I think that what is quite wonderful is as I know and for a fact that no one dies alone. We do not die alone. We're always met. But just the same way is that, you know, when they take and bring us in here. You know, we're brought in by, you know, by these people who love us. It is no different that we should have people on this end, you know, connecting with those that are going to be bringing us over on, you know, on sort of on the other side. So it makes a lot of sense to me why there should be this connected, continuing journey, because it is about love, and it's about that continuum of love from leaving one space of our consciousness into another level of consciousness, and it is a birth. I mean, you have to die to be born. I mean, that's a fact. They do go hand in hand together. So the fact that you're actually doing this with people, I think is pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Well, and I just love that. And you know, the thing about the birth and death being both sides of a revolving door, a lot of the people I work with in the hospital, they're just average people. You know, they've never thought about these kinds of questions. And it's a lot of rural communities around here, so they're just kind of salt of the earth sort of folks, you know, basic Christian, Protestant, never really thinking outside the box. And here they are, and all of a sudden somebody's dying, and they've never had to really deal with a death before. So when I'm sitting there with them, of course I'm not trying to change their thinking or preach to them in any way, but I will say to them when they're mother or father or somebody is laying there taking their last breaths, I'll show them, I'll say, you know, right now you can be like a midwife. Imagine a midwife bringing a baby in. You're now a midwife for your mom, helping her move into the next world. And when I say that to them, it just blows their minds. Mm-hmm. It's so obvious to me, but
right.
To them it's new. And no matter what their religious beliefs are, it's perfect. It fits
yes.
with any belief system you want.
Right, because it's all based in love. It's not based in religion. It's all based in love. It's about, you know, that's what we do when we love somebody. We want to be there for anybody that we love through whatever process are in their life that we can be.
Yes.
Yep. And that's, you know, it's basic. It's simple. It's not complicated, and that's why you don't get, you know, them looking at you strange or anything. If anything, they're looking at you like, yeah, I mean, this is like, this makes a whole lot of sense.
Well, and the other reason that they accept it is because when you're dealing with grief and trauma, your heart is blown open. It's like someone threw a grenade into your heart, you know, and it's just bleh, and it's
yeah.
so wide open. And so you'll accept pretty much anything that makes sense. You know, you can sense the balance in what something says. So if somebody says to you, oh, your mother's going to go to hell because, you know, she committed adultery, they're... When you're in that state, you don't really accept that because your heart is so open and you're so aligned with spirit that you can sense the untruth in a statement like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you tell them something that's really true and non-judgmental and non-dogmatic, they let it in because they know it's the truth.
Yes.
Because the truth resonates with love.
Right. And the truth sets us free.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. In the literal sense, from, you know, somebody making the transition to the sense of we know in a grander picture. Great. So just real quick here, I'm going to start taking some calls, but and I'll actually keep you on the line if you'd like, Terry, just in case somebody wants to ask you some questions. How's
sure.
that sound?
Absolutely.
Okay, cool. But you know, go to the afterlifeconference.com, check it out. You want to give yourself a new Hanukkah, Christmas, you know, solstice, whatever end of the year, going into New Year type gift, then, you know, you owe it to yourself to sort of, like, check it out. So let's just see what's going on, because you never know if somebody has a question for you on as well. So let me take the
call
here.
Okay. Sounds good.
Hello, you're on the air with Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. And you?
Great. I'm good, good, pretty good, enjoying the conversation.
Great, wonderful.
I wanted to know, I know it's with spirit, whoever needs to come through is going to come through, but I'm curious as to if you pick up my dad's side of the family and if they have any messages for me regarding my dad.
Okay, your dad's still here?
He is, yes, he is.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. Are you concerned about him not being here? It's kind of been the topic of conversation for the evening. That's why I'm asking.
That's correct.
Yeah, I was going to say, you tuned into a perfect show for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, give me your first name again.
Sure, Ebony.
Say that again.
Ebony.
Okay, Ebony. First of all, I'm just going to tell you this really quick. Maybe if you pick up anything, Terry, you know, do add your 2 cents. But his mom passed, Ebony?
Yes.
He must have been very close with her, because I'm definitely getting her presence being around him.
Yeah, he's been talking about her a lot right now. Yeah.
I'm not surprised, but the reason he's talking about her is that whether he is cognizant of it or not, it's because her presence are around.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want you to know that, you know, he's not having a moment where he's not, you know, all out there per se, because he literally energetically is really feeling his mom around. So that's pretty strong. But I also will tell you this: I'm obviously not allowed to give passing, because that's not what I do. But what I will say this to you is that it feels to me like your dad is right now doing a very strong pull on you. And I'm going to gather that means you being around him right now is really important.
Right. You're right. I'm trying to get down to where he is to see him. And finance-wise, it's tough. And I've had friends who were psychic mediums, and they've kind of told me some things about the energy around him.
Mm-hmm.
Some speak on it, some people don't. I totally understand that. But some close ones to me have kind of given me some information about it. And so I'm really trying to get down there. And he's really strict with his money and tight. And he's like, you don't need to come down here. I don't have the money for you. If you don't have it, don't come.
Got it.
I'm trying to get down there because I know the seriousness of his condition and that he just needs some serious emotional support right now. So.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm sure that Terry will agree with me, is that the physical connection is always obviously very important, because we just sometimes have to have that physical need of someone being near us. But you can send him energy without being physically there.
Okay, right.
You can absolutely do visitations to him, and that's pretty strong. And you do that kind of stuff too, don't you, Terry?
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing about that is you have to trust it. When you're sitting there sending him waves of love, visualize yourself kind of, I call it the flyby, you know, do a little flyby wherever he is and trust that it's real. That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they will get it, because it's always love. So the fact that he's feeling his mom around, and the fact that you're going to be sending him some really strong, you know, connective stuff, he'll get it.
Okay, that's good. So I've been sending angels, and this is the first time that I know that we can send our positive thoughts and our love in that way, but just to kind of hear it again, and the fact that I might not be able to get there soon, it's good to hear that. And with Terry, something very interesting, on your website, I think it talks about telepathy and how you were able to do telepathy, or you're able to do telepathy with your son. Mm-hmm. And I've been developing my mediumship, and so there's one of my loved ones that I'll talk to quite a bit, and I'm in that phase still where I'm learning to really trust it and let my rational mind go to the wayside so I can, you know, take what's coming in. But I'll find that sometimes when I ask a question, before I can even finish the question, I'll get an answer from him.
Exactly how it works.
Oh, my God, is he in my head, like, all the time waiting for me to ask a question? So I'm like, how in the world can you answer a question that quick unless you're just chilling in my head waiting for me to talk to you?
It's really simple. It's because there's no time.
Right, there's no time, and
so,
it's already out there.
It's already out there, exactly. So time doesn't go from point A to point B, like you ask a question, then you get an answer. Thoughts are all happening simultaneously in the universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Ebony. You have a great night, okay? And have a nice holiday.
Take care.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. I think we may only have time for one more. Let me just see here. Hello, you're on the air with Suzanne and Terry Daniels.
Hi, ladies. This is Anna. I actually tuned in late. I was listening to some of it. I'm coming up on the anniversary of my mother's passing in about a week, and I'm wondering if you were picking up any messages for me at this time. I've had a rough year, and just wondering if you get anything.
So this is the one-year anniversary?
No, it's actually, it will be 7 years, but sometimes it seems like a year.
I got you. And I'm sorry, what's your first name again?
Anna,
okay. Anna, first of all, I got to tell you something. Your mother's here very loud and very, very clear. And you can always, by the way, any show that I have, you could go back and listen to them anytime. So what you missed in the beginning, you might want to go back and check out because we gave some really, really good stuff tonight. And just in terms of, yes, at this time of the year, very clearly it is difficult for a lot of people. I got it, and that's why I try to, like, do a lot of focus just toward the healing that is so imperative at this time of the year. But I'm going to tell you this. Your mother's a tough cookie. I mean, she's a tough cookie. I don't know if this is her or who's connected to her, but I got to tell you, I hear the name Rose really strong.
That's funny because that name comes through a lot, and I can't place it.
Well, then let me tell you this. If it's not a name and you can't connect it to a name, then it probably means roses because I'll hear it both ways.
Well,
all right?
I had white roses at her memorial. So
there you go.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah,
yeah.
I know. It means one or the other when I get that. And if you have them in memorial, she obviously knows it, and it's her way of letting you know that.
Okay.
All right. Very loud and very, very clear. Okay. But
right.
But I will tell you something. What I'm going to say very, very strong to you about your mom. She is a tough cookie, and she says you got her blood. So you need to pull that one in because that's a great honor to your mama to have her blood and really be strong and see your way through.
Right, I've had to be this year, especially.
Well, those are the times. It's like I've learned in life. It's that, when people have difficulties in relationships or they have difficult times. These are the times that we really see how strong we are and how we need to pull together the things that we really need to pull together, and that always, always we're guided and helped through it. You just got to bring it in. Just bring it in.
Right.
All right?
Yes. And can she tell me anything about a health issue going on right now?
The only thing I'm going to tell you is that that's not an area that I do in, but I will sort of say this to you. It feels like it's been off and ongoing. That's what I'm getting the sense with. I think there'll be still issues you may be dealing with it into the next year, but I certainly think there's things that you can do to keep it in balance.
Well, that's good to know. I haven't found them yet, but I'm working on it.
You know what? You know what they say? Never give up, Anna.
Oh, I can't. No, I know.
No, can't give up.
All right,
my dear.
You appreciate
it. Your mama's strength when you need it, all right?
All right. Thank you. I'll go back and listen. Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome.
Good holiday. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. I think that's going to do us in. So we have a minute and 41 seconds left. So are there any quick things that you want to, like, just throw out to people before we – my 90 seconds left in the show, Terry?
No, just that, I think what I would say that is just trust your instincts. Trust what you know. When you have dreams, when you know who's going to call before the phone rings, all this stuff that every average Joe in the world has – know that it is spirit talking to you. There is no such thing as a coincidence. these things are real, and our culture and many other influences will try to tell us that they're not. Don't buy into that. Just trust your dreams. Trust the messages that you're getting all the time. You know, like, you know, the lady that you were just talking about, roses. How many times have you been walking, you know, down the street and you see a purple shoe or something, you know, that that is a message from somebody, and you go, how interesting, what a coincidence. My mother always had purple shoes. It's real, people. It is real. Trust
it. It is real, yes. So with that, anybody that's going to be going to Mexico to be checking out the Mayan calendar with me, I welcome them. It would be great. We'll have a lot of fun, and as well as do something very, very special. And I'm looking forward to I'm really looking forward to this. This is going to be my little solstice part, Terry. And as usually, as always, thanks for being my guest, Terry. And everybody go to theafterlifeconference.com. And as always, I hope that everything you want may be yours as you rock and roll into the new year and end out this one.
Thank you.